1 Corinthians 1, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which is given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, so that you come short in no gift.
Yes. So we noted at the end of chapter 11, Hebrews speaks about us, that they could not be made perfect without us. They could not be made perfect without us. I don't know what you think your name is. You can answer if somebody asks you that. But there is a name which only you know, which God has given to each one who believes. He says that he gives that to the overcomer. And we are often self-cheated by ideas of time. In Revelation it says, time shall be no more. And one translation of time is delayed. And I believe that that has come to pass in our lives. That delay shall be no more. When you hear the phrase Christ in you, that's speaking about the eternal now of God. And you in that now of God. It's not a waiting for something to happen. It's not a waiting for a train to arrive at a depot and you get your ticket punched and you're getting on board. You're in it or you're not in it. There's no halfway place. And I don't believe you would be here if you were not in it. It's a wonderful thing to understand that in the sovereignty of God, he has called you to be born at such a time as this. That the identity which he has given you might be revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, in this time. Where all the mayhem is happening, where the religious are now claiming that they are the body of Christ, and they want to get the 33,000 denominations under one auspices, which is the Catholic Church, all these things transpiring before us. A type and shadow of the Lamb. A type and shadow of instead of Christ. Instead of Christ. Instead of Christ. We choose that we're going to be a part of instead of Christ, but we're going to be a part of Christ. And you have chosen to be a part of Christ when you accepted and received him. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he has given you this name, which no one knows but you, who has received. And you cannot be more empowered than to realize that he lives within you. Even as John said, you are his temple. We are his temple. We are his temple. We are his temple. And there is nothing. You think about how can you reconcile a good God who lives in you and all the challenges that you face? Why? If God is so good, why would he give you challenges? Because he is the answer to every challenge he's ever given you. And he lives in you. And he wants you to believe that. And he wants you to exercise that belief by confessing that belief in the face of this opposition that you feel like that you're facing. And all the oppositions that you will face. This is the reality of the faith. And you exercising and fighting the good fight of the faith in the face of opposition. This is the exercise of that. You don't have to wait because all the situations that we face are our opportunity. They are tripwires in our minds to encourage us to believe what he has done. That he is present with us. And at the moment at which we are, we believe.
Thank you. Property of honey. I love that picture that we get the land. We're eating from that land. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. And that comes through the honey. He's never thought of that. And I had always heard the medicinal properties of honey, but I met a beekeeper last year. He lives in our town, and he told us that most honey you buy, even if they say it's organic or, you know, natural or whatever, that they use sugar. That produces a great deal of honey, but it has no medicinal properties in it. So how do you know? He said it's really difficult to know whether you're getting the real thing or not, but I think it's built into the body of Christ to test all things. That we are fully equipped to test this honey. Because we're trusting in it to do certain things for us. Anyway, that just kind of goes on.
Taste and see.
Thank you.
And the swarm of Samson. Just very briefly, it's an interesting thing. It's another misconception you'll read or hear sometimes in the media that an individual is attacked by a swarm of bees. There's nothing further from the truth. A swarm of honeybees is a specific thing. They swarm when they're either distressed, the hive is compromised, the queen has failed and they're no longer producing. For whatever reason, the conditions are no longer conducive for them to live in the hive. It could be, and very often is, a stronger colony somewhere that's robbing them. It will overcome the defenders at the entrance, and it will begin to rob the hive of its resources. So they will swarm. And when they swarm, the queen and the majority of the workers leave. They have to find someplace else to live. They have to. So when Samson slew a lion, it says, and returned again and passed by it, it said that there in the carcass of the lion, a swarm of bees had taken up residence and had produced comb and honey, and he took and ate of the honey. So I find it an interesting thing that this swarm of bees, when bees swarm, they're absolutely harmless. There's not any aggression in them. If you find a swarm of bees on a branch, you go hold the branch and assault with assault. It happened in my branch, they could fall off. They're not going to bother. I showed Doug today when I took the lid off the top of the hive, and in the inner lid, there were clinging under the inner lid, clumps of bees are clinging there. And I didn't want to set them down and lose them, so what did I do, Doug? I shook it, and they all fell. If you know when they're not aggressive, you know they're not aggressive. You know bees. So we were there with, just like we looked, with the lid off, with probably 30 or 40,000 or more bees, and we're right there with them doing what we're doing. So when they swarm, they're looking for some place to live, because wherever they were, they can't live there anymore. So it's curious that a swarm of bees took up residence in the carcass of this lion. It's an interesting thing. But we're a peculiar people, and a people who, for whatever reason, have not been able to find abode in anything here. We found here no continuing city. We found no city here, though it promises that it's going to endure. None of us here have believed that. And so we seek the city of Abraham. Took the same journey and came to the same conclusions within himself. And we seek a city with foundations. It's already built. The builder and maker is God. We're not a people without a city. We're just not going to settle for anything but the city. Amen. To heaven.
Thank you, Lord.